hopeless goal, the dead end of a broken road.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
The following program was recorded at an earlier date.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies.
Hello, welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. I'm Luann Linekin, and I'm with James Wrench. Say hi, James.
Hello, glory.
Yes, glory to God. So happy to be back. You're listening to WCNO, and we're on every Friday at 5. So with that, we've been discussing surrendering our lives to the care of God. I'll say that. We turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we understood him. When we first come into the kingdom, right, we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We get filled with the Holy Spirit, we have to give up, you know, our old ways. And how do we do that? And how do we surrender is really the topic that we're talking about. And when we turn, it's a repenting, that turning. It's turning our direction, moving from one way of living to another way of living. You see, when we're born again, our spirit is filled and whole and born and alive. But our soul and our body still needs sanctification, needs renewing in our flesh and in our thoughts, because we have a lot of programming done in that head, and the enemy has been talking to us for a long time, the worldly ways, traditions, belief systems, influences. As we're born, we're born into family influences, right? And we're taught these things. So we have to get washed with a brainwashing, basically. a new way to think, right? So we need to turn our direction from the position we were in into the position God puts us in. And so surrender is to abandon oneself entirely. That's when God asks us to love him with all our heart, our soul, our strength, our body, right? And our spirit, so that we give all of ourselves. We don't leave anything out. We don't say, and what the way I interpret that as I walk with the Lord is my heart is full of chambers of my heart, right? And he wants my whole heart. So there were times in the beginning, and sometimes as we go deeper in our faith and we grow, we get more clear in our spiritual senses, and we see areas of our life that we're still bound in some things, right? So, and the beautiful thing is as we grow in our faith, we say, hey, that I don't need to live like that. I don't need to be manipulated or harassed by old messages, spirits, whatever it is. And so as we go deeper, we can continue the process of turning and staying in the right direction, because it's very easy. This world can temptation, right, can have us even look in the wrong direction for a moment. And in that moment, we realize, wait a minute, I'm going to trip because I'm not looking where I need to be, looking forward to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit's always following Jesus and his way, and he's following, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's listening to the Father. So if we stop following, there needs to be a turning in our position in that area, whatever it is. Okay? So surrender is to abandon oneself entirely, a powerful emotion or influence, to give into, to yield, to cease resistance to an enemy. God says that when we're not following his will, his way, his word, his desires, and his plan for our life, then we are in the enemy's camp. We're living for the enemy. You know, if we're even little things, you know, not being honest. We need to be honest about our lives and what we're doing. And sometimes not being honest, and this is nothing here, nothing we speak ever, I just want to say. First of all, everything that I speak here is from, I'm going to do a little, is the Holy Spirit, you know, like ministering. I don't write things or do things on my own. I might hear the Holy Spirit through other readings or teachings, and even through the Word of God, right? And I write them down, but there's no condemnation. God loves us, and it's about correction or conviction. We want to change that thinking, that old way. Turn your position from condemnation and shame and guilt to love, acceptance, forgiveness, right? And correction and honor. That's loving God. So we need to have that mindset when we're listening to these teachings, because they could be very bold. I don't know how else to say it, right? And direct.
Direct,
right? So when we yield, we resist to an enemy or an opponent and submit to their authority. So, you know, I didn't want to submit to God. So there was a time in my life where I wasn't surrendering. I wasn't abandoning. And it's always with myself. It's not even submitting to the enemy. It's my will itself will run riot when I'm not in peace of mind, when I'm not in forgiveness, love, patience, tolerance. That's my will making a decision. I get to choose. Do I want to walk in darkness or light? Do I want to walk as the world walks or as the Word tells me how to walk, right? And to give up or hand over a person's right or possession. God says to the rich man, sell everything and follow me. And it was very hard for him to do that. He said, I do everything for you. I pray, I give to the poor, I do it all. But once he asked him for everything of himself, right?
Yeah.
It became, he couldn't do that. And that's what God's asking all of us. So when we want to give up he wants all of us. He wants us to give up our way. I used to think, you know, and I'm sure most of us when we were kids, when I turn 18 or 21 now, right, or whatever, I'm going to do whatever I want. Nobody's going to tell me what to do, right? Well, God said, as a loving parent, and that's where it started, the rebellion, you know, not honoring your authority, mother and father, right? God's trying to teach us through his commandments. Those commandments still exist, and they're still for our benefit, for the love that he has for us, to guide us and lead us and keep us safe and keep us in his presence, not only his presence, you know, physically and spiritually and emotionally, but in his presence, all the yeses and amen and all the gifts and the supply that he has for us on a daily basis.
That was one of the first commandments with a blessing tied to it.
Amen. Yeah.
To have a long life.
That's right.
Honoring your parents.
Yeah. Very important. And that's about authority. You know, we need to honor.
And so we've talked about it before, but that doesn't mean, you know, you submit to evil things, or if you have parents, you know, if they get high and they want you to get higher, what, you know, different things that happen. We all have, most parents are raised by messed up parents. We're on about the third generation. You know, people started sliding in the 60s, and then those kids, those people grew up and had kids, and those kids that weren't raised right grew up and had kids, and we're just trying to figure it all out now that we're in a mess. But so you can honor them without necessarily, you don't have to submit to evil. You know,
amen.
There's things that you can't do, especially when you're of your 18 or 20. But I tried to honor my mom till the end there.
Yeah.
And
amen.
I think the Lord said I did a good job.
And it's the same thing like honor authority. If the government's going in a wild direction, right, and they're killing Christians everywhere, just saying, you know, the world, or, you know, and you have an opportunity to protect people, you're not going against, you're honoring God's word and his love and his way. It trumps all of it, you know, that comes above all things. And when I was in Henry Wright, when I went there, I had a really hard time with honoring parent, because I felt at the time, I don't feel that way anymore, thank God, because I got experiential knowledge. My heart got touched. Nobody deserve to be honored in my family, in my mind, you know?
She's pretty rough, one of the roughest I've seen.
You know, so. Like, and my mom was a tough Italian mom, you know, and she wasn't much older than me. So it was like two kids fighting a lot, you know, going against each other. And, you know, she was, you know, it was tough. It was, you know, and nobody, you know, we were sometimes in each other's face. And one of the leaders said, honor as it pertains to God. And that changed everything for me, because it wasn't about my mom or my father or my sibling or people that have done me wrong, you know, in my life. It was about honoring God's way. And it made it a lot easier, and healing started to happen because I didn't care anymore. You know, the more I felt his presence and his love in my heart, forgiveness, you know, it didn't manipulate my behaviors anymore. Like, I'm not going to do that. I wanted to do that. I love my mother very, very much. You know, and sometimes they're not changing. People, it's not, like, my life is when they change, I'll change. That's how it used to be. But when I change, things start to change because God's doing it. You know, I'm letting him in the situation. Somebody has to.
Yeah, sometimes you get in a situation where you're living right with the Lord, and if you have a religious spirit, you get caught in a almost like two different laws. Like, say you're hiding Jews in the basement during the when they were killing all the Jewish people, and then the German soldier comes to the door. Doctor, do you have any Jews in the basement? Yeah, they're in the basement. Why did you tell? Well, I'm not going to lie. The Bible says don't lie. So, I mean, one sin of killing him is way worse than the sin of lying to protect him.
Amen. So, amen. That's exactly what that you did it. That's exactly what I was saying. If we come to a time where and we decide that we have an opportunity to save lives, you know, we're going to choose that, even if, you know, it means our life.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. And the same thing is when honoring your authority. You know, we're gonna choose to do that, even if it means my own life. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I had to die to my own flesh when I wanted.
I was gonna say dying to self and.
Amen. You know what I mean? Like, when I had to start loving and honoring my parents at a later time in my life because I understood the concept. Hallelujah.
Well, I'm not gonna do that.
Yeah. But, you know. Yeah. Right. So abandon yourself to God as you understand him, as you understood him, right? Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Freely give freely at what you find and join us. And this is part of a 12-step program. This is one of their this is what this is attached to at the end, right? We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge, meaning we're going to have difficulties. God says it. Jesus told us, right? The road of happy destiny. As we're following him, life is going to happen. There's going to be trials, turbulation, things like that. But the happy destiny, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he counted it all joy because he knew the ending of it. He saw the joy in how many people were going to be coming to God, to Christ. I mean, how wonderful is that? And that, if we stay in that position, right, then our will, we're going to constantly want to, on a daily basis, I can't depend on yesterday's supply or tomorrow. It's a daily thing, which leads me to have the peace and be willing to surrender my way to God's way, which leads me to a reading I want to read, and it is called 24-hour-a-day. It's one of the ways I sit with the Lord, commune with the Lord, meditate, think about things with the Lord. So it says, and I've changed some words because it's for everyone. This is open to everyone to sit at the King's table. To come into the kingdom and hear what I'm going to read and relate to it, okay? So I chose this one because I feel like this has a lot to do with how we surrender ourselves to God. So what makes the kingdom of God work? The first thing is to have a revulsion and that's contempt, disapproval, or sense of disgust or loathing against myself. And I say this because the problem is in self, okay? I'm not trying to say I hate myself. No, I'm hating the sin or the habitual wrong behavior in that the will chooses in self, right? The pride, the self-centeredness, and my way of living. Me, 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 I, self, me, the ism of I come first and then everything else. Then I must admit, and that's repentance, right? I was helpless, that my way to deal with life through outside resources and solutions, right? The fleshly way, self-satisfying desires way, had me licked. I couldn't do anything about it. The next thing is to honestly want to quit the old life. So there's a part of us, right, that we have to consciously, God consciously, right, turn our life over daily to God. Offer our vessel, our body, our heart, our spirit to God on a daily basis, right? So then I must surrender my life to a higher power, God, care of God. And that's what we're talking about, surrendering our will and our life to the care of God. Put my problem, whatever it is, habitual desire, the situation that keeps something between me and God, whether it's anger, could be resentments, it could be jealousy, it could be coveting, right, for the things of the world, in his hands, and leave it there. After these things are done, I should attend whatever it is, fellowship with God and others, whether it's in churches, whether it's small study groups, whether it's calling another person and talking and having God be in the center, mostly all the people that I commune with in a day, God-centered in it. Where we somehow, even with my mother, which is beautiful because I can bring him up in something that we're talking about, whether you know she believes 100% or not, but it's available to be for him, for us to speak him in everything we do. Praise the Lord. So we need to be on a regular basis involved with others, right? Press into our relationship with God by reading his word, hearing his word, and speaking his word with him, with myself as I'm doing my day, right? Having commune with him and others daily, along with attending the church and meetings, wherever they are. Maybe you're going to therapy, you know, bring Jesus with you in therapy. Talk about Jesus. And hopefully your therapist is talking about Jesus.
Say
amen.
That might get you locked up.
But listen, if you're listening to WCNO, I'm praying that if you don't have a spiritual, Christian, God-loving therapist, that you find one in Jesus' name.
If you have a therapist.
Amen. Yes. Where others are like-minded regularly for fellowship and sharing. I should also try to help others. Whatever it is that I come out of, right? God's going to bring people with the same kind of language, struggling with selfishness, prideful, sinful behaviors, and helping them turn to God by sharing the kingdom of heaven, the good news, the gospel, right? Turning their will and their lives over to the care of God by expressing how God loves you, how God cared for you in those moments of our loving God. We need to share that God is love with everyone. Am I doing these things? And that's the question of the day in the thought. And then I'm the other part of this 24-hour day reading is, you know, now we sit and we meditate on for the day on this. You are so made that you can only carry the weight of 24 hours. So when God says we all get the same measure, he's talking about the same 24 hours. Whether you wake up whatever time, we all get 24 hours, whether it's on the other side of the world. 24 hours is the day that we are allotted, right, to do God's will, to plan and fulfill God's purpose for us in our life. We get no more. Right now. It's now. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, but in this moment, this is the time, as for such a time as this, in this day, right? That's why I wrote it down, and I'll read it. So let me see, where did I write that? Our spiritual condition is, our daily reprieve is based on our spiritual condition, our daily reprieve, okay? So our 24 hours, no more. If you weigh yourself down with the years behind and the days ahead, your back breaks. God has promised to help with the burdens of the day only, of this day only, okay? If you are foolish enough to gather again that burden of the past and carry it, then indeed you cannot expect God to help you bear it, because he's right here, right now. He's not going to go back there. And if there's anything that he needs in your past, he's going to bring it forward to you. He's not going to ask you to go dig up stuff, okay, and carry things around. He brings it for the moment when you're sharing your life, your story, your testimony with someone. So forget that which lies behind you and breathe in the blessing of each new day. Don't miss today. You know, one of the sayings that I've heard is, if you have one day, in one foot in yesterday and one foot in tomorrow, you're kind of like pooping on today. You know, you're wasting today away. So we want to be in today. Our both feet are planted on the earth so that our head can be in the heavenly places, and miracles can happen through our hands and our feet and our mouth. Hallelujah. And the prayer for the day is, I pray that I may realize that for good or bad, past days have ended. I pray that I may face each new day, the coming 24 hours, with hope and courage. So the 24-hour day book, you can get it. You can get it on Amazon or whatever, you know, at a bookstore. And the reason why I changed the words is because it's appropriate. If you know Christ and you're a kingdom citizen, you'll know to put kingdom of God in places that it might say 12-step program or, you know, something more secular. We put kingdom of God. All right. Now, the thing is, we want to plant the kingdom of God first, not a 12-step group. And that's what the kingdom recovery is all about. It's about planting God's word first so that the 12-step program you're in, or therapy you're in, or doctor you're attending, or family you're part of, or workplace you go to, that tree can grow healthy. That fruit off the tree, where God's word is the foundation, kingdom mentality is the foundation, the seed planted, so that those places that you've been divinely assigned, because God doesn't make mistakes, right, can be fruitful with God's fruit, not that wax fruit that I used to grow, because I had those things planted first. I thought that those were the vine to my life. I thought that was, if I didn't go, if I didn't have a therapist, if I didn't, you know, have my money in the bank, all those things I was planting first, and I was growing empty fruit. I was constantly feeling not satisfied, not fulfilled, not safe, basically. Mm-hmm. All right. So with that, we're gonna. Do you have anything you want to share, James?
None of that part.
I'm sorry.
I'm okay on that.
Okay. All right. So now we're gonna go to the teaching. I just wanted to share the reading with everyone, because I really feel like it's a very important reading for surrender. So what is revulsion? Because that's what it talked about, right? And it's our identity. We have to get to a place where I know that I'm not living right. If I don't know I'm not living right in a certain area or something, I'm not gonna need help. I'm not gonna want help. I'm not gonna accept help, and I'm not gonna cry out to God. So there's a place where we need to get, where we're sick and tired of being sick and tired of ourselves, basically.
And that's where truth being taught, and people don't want to talk about sin anymore. And
yeah, and we're going to be doing that in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, because
it's important.
If you don't know what sin is, if you don't know, like, fornication is sin, and you're sick because of sin you don't even know you have, and then the churches are not, they're teaching not to talk about it anymore, and they're not getting much results and healing and stuff. And Thurman Scrivener, who Sid Ross said gets more people healed than anybody he ever met, so that's a pretty big statement. He had people come to him that had been to over 100 churches, 100 different people praying, people that had people healed, they weren't healed. And he'd just walk them through a little repentance and they get healed. And he'd ask them, didn't your pastor ever teach you any of that? And like one lady says, no, it's right on the, there's a thing, you're not allowed to talk about sin when, right on a plaque when you walk in the door. You're not allowed to talk about it. And that's different. There's always a ditch on both sides. There's some people that want to point everything out. I mean,
yeah, we're not doing that. I mean,
yeah,
we just want to bring
on a person.
The word awareness to people that, you know, like,
it's just, yeah.
Amen. Amen. It's, and it's always out of love because I didn't know. I really didn't. And I share this on the show with people, with everyone, obviously, that when I first came in to the kingdom, right? I thought, well, he's a Christian. I'm engaged. We're going to get married and we can live the way we want. You know, God wants me to be happy. He's happy. He's a Christian. We go to church together. We do all these things.
He gave me this.
Yeah. He gave me this guy. Right. No.
Or the lust.
Yeah. Right. And yeah, the desire to want someone. So, but then as I spent time in fellowship with God alone in that secret place without that and not that I was broken up yet, but in my morning time, in my nighttime, in the times when I was driving and God was ministering, Holy Spirit was ministering to me and talking. And as I grew in my faith and the word started to become more alive and I got more clear, I got convicted and I had to make a decision. You know, and that's where I stood at the turning point. That's where I said, do I surrender? I have to surrender this. And I chose to surrender to God, that part of my fleshly desire. I had to because I believe God, and I know that He had a plan and a purpose for me, and I wanted to honor Him and be a vessel for Him. So
yeah, let me just say that, like, because I was helping her in that time, and I wasn't pointing things out, but she would ask me. There was three or four times, and I felt bad having to tell her, but I told her the truth, and she got a little upset with me. But my heart, and it's been that way with anyone that I've spoken to, even though people mistake it sometimes, is I don't enjoy telling them if I have, especially I'm trying to help somebody that's got cancer or something, you know, where I'm trying, I'm
Amen.
Like, do I just shut my mouth and, or do I try and help them and, even though they're going to get mad at me, you know?
Yeah. Well, that kind of happened today with, you know, because I'm now in a position where I'm the person speaking into people's life. And one of the good things that you can ask somebody is ask them if you can speak into their life. You know, would they mind if you speak in, if you know something and it may be in their minds or, you know, a little maybe truthful and maybe hurt in a little bit of a way, you might want to say, can I speak into your life? If they're sharing something with you, you can ask them that question. And that's how I started with people. You know, can I share? And now they call me and they ask me, can I tell you something? And, you know, and then we talk about God and the word and we pray together and then they make a decision. I never tell anybody what to do, but I tell them what God says about something and their relationship. It's between them and God.
And if it like gets under your skin, seeing like
that's
Christians smoking and stuff or different things you
different.
See with your eyes, then
Don't
you need to
anything.
Watch yourself because the fact it's getting under your skin, it's not getting under God's skin, you know? We want to have the heart and pray for him, not. But if you have that spirit where that gets under your skin, then you need to be suspect of anything else that you want to point out to anybody that, you know, what spirit you're in. And the thing, I'll go back to the thing I always say for last 20 years is when you want to share something, ask yourself, would I be willing to fast for this? And if your answer is like, no, I ain't fasting for them, they need to, then you don't need to tell them anything.
No.
But if it's yes, I'll fast. Lord, do you want me to fast? And I'm not saying you have to fast, but sometimes you need to, but sometimes that don't even work. But you'll know your heart when you ask yourself that question. If you're just wanting to point it out because you see it or is it because you're trying to rescue him?
Amen. So we want to bury the old man as Jesus, you know, he died for us, and live a new life, a new man's life, the new identity in Christ, okay? So it's who we are. It's the person that we are, our identity in him, or our identity in the world, in man, in our humanism or our spiritualism, which is Holy Spirit, right? It's our, first of all, let me just say, our identity, our being, our name. Name is important in the Bible. Shem is being known by, a person known by. It's who we are, right? A reputation, character, place, position. Like in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, right? So we need to get to a place where I don't want to be that person that chooses to live against the word of God, or, you know, but I have to get there. No one can tell me. No one. There were many people that seen that I was making bad choices in my life in the past. But until I came to myself in that pig pen and realized I was the one that smelled and it wasn't everybody else, no one, I would have been, you know, it would have went nowhere. So it's a sense of disgust and loathing, the drawing of disease or blood, congestion from one part of the body to another. That's what revulsion is, okay? It's hatred, intense dislike or ill will towards. And God says we should hate sin. God hates sin. I hate sin. And so that's why if I find myself being tempted, I recoil, you know, or I say, forgive me, Father. And that's the beauty of it, that God already bought us with a price. He already shed his blood. And all we're doing is saying, Father, I recognize, because otherwise we're saying his blood was for nothing. I recognize that I was living outside of your will. Forgive me, Father. I choose you. I choose your way. And he loves us. He comes with a robe, right? So Psalms 97:10 says, O you who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the lives of his saints. He delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. So when we love God, honor him, reverence to the Lord, fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. We don't want to participate in anything that goes against God because we love him so much, right? Just as he doesn't want to participate in anything that goes against us. Hallelujah. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. So some of the things, there are two kingdoms with opposing laws. There's the devil law in sin and death, and God's law is of spirit and life. In Romans 8:2, I'll read that, and it says, and because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. So my question is, so then why do we know about people or even ourselves keep falling short? Because we're not surrendering our whole heart, spirit, body, mind to God's word, to God's way. And that's why we fall short of the glory at times in our lives, okay? And that's when we want to be more influenced by our human nature rather than the spirit nature. And we are spirit beings. So God calls us to walk forward, walk in spirit, walk by spirit, because that's who we really are. It's our inner place. He says in our innermost deep place, we are to be led and walked with him.
Can I read it?
Yes, go ahead, James.
King James. Mm-hmm. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So when we walk after the flesh, then we are under the law.
Mm-hmm. And we experience problems.
Well, the law is sin and death. I mean, right. That's where all the curse and right. All disease is under the law.
Amen. And that's why
if we walk in the spirit, we won't be free. Walking in sin and all Hallelujah. The things of the flesh.
Because he won't, he doesn't. And that's and in order to walk in spirit, we have to be in relationship. We have to be with him. Amen. Fellowship. So, and that's different than religion. It's not the acts that I do that make me free. It's what he already done. and it's my time with him. It's my surrender to be in his presence. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, I'll just add a little on to that. Okay, Galatians 5:18. But if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in the past, in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And that word "do" actually says habitually do as a way of life. So if you're battling and you don't think it's okay and you're just walking in this, but you're trying not to, it's different than if you're just giving over to it and living it as a way of life. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts thereof. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. So it's pretty clear all through the Bible. But.
Amen. And so we have been made free from the kingdom of darkness, right, and the law of death and sin by the shed blood of Jesus. It's through what Jesus did, right? He bought us back totally. He didn't leave any. He didn't leave an arm behind. He got all of you.
Yes, if you give all of yes.
If you got forgiveness,
then you got that part over
if
there.
If you take the offer, right, if you don't eat from his table, you're not going to receive the nourishment, the love, the joy, the peace that he already provides for us.
Amen.
Amen, right? So we're sanctified, made holy, set apart to God, called a saint. That's the name he calls us, his saints. Praise the Lord. So do all roads lead back to me? That's when I hit walls. Or continue for eternity through him, in him. Breakthroughs. That's when walls come crashing down. Mountains start moving, and what used to look like impossible becomes possible in him, right? So resentment, fear, bitterness leads to me, but freedom, love, peace leads to Christ Jesus, and that's what you're talking about. I get to choose. So it's a decision that I get to make on a daily basis. Do I want to be angry about the situation, or do I want to sit with the Lord, find out, let him wash me, and love me, and teach me how to, you know, the Holy Spirit always has a way out from darkness. We need to follow him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So to be, to live saved, I must surrender. I can't live in the freedom that God provided already if I'm still acting like I'm bound to things, be actually living bound to things, because you know, all those chains are undone. We just sit there like they're still tied to us. They're not. He's loosened everyone. Praise the Lord, right? So to believe with all my heart and my soul, by faith, I walk and I live as a new creation, a new man. All right? We take up our cross. He says, pick up your mat, go, live your life to God and to stop. And surrender. We have to stop those behaviors or those thoughts. Take captive the thought. God says it's possible. I'm not saying anything, and James is not saying anything that I made up or that I'm trying to force anybody to do. It's all written. God says take captive every thought that goes against him. So he gave us the ability to do it. So we can't say, I just can't do it. We can. We can. And I pray that over everybody right now listening, that you get the ability to be able to take captive the thoughts and bring them to the repentance, the discipline of God, God's word. So when there's a thought and you know it's not of God or it doesn't feel right, use your senses in that place. That's why he gave them, right? So we know when we're not in the right place, in our eyes, in our mouth, in our taste, in our touch, and bring it to God. And he will correct it for you. He says, we don't ask. the right things. That's why we can't receive. So ask him. He wants to.
I just want to say that much of our thoughts are on our own.
That's right.
And like if I fought lustful thoughts for 20 years, getting very mad at myself all the time, when I embarrassed myself in church, confessing it, getting prayer, and I went through a situation in 2002 and God sent someone from another state to fast 40 days for me and deliver me of something else, a spirit of death. But I got delivered of a speech impediment, and then I got delivered of lustful thoughts. I had no idea that wasn't me. I would have done a better job battling, I think, if I'd have realized it wasn't my own thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, if you're battling, then you probably have a spirit involved. And you also, spirits also set up strongholds in your mind and ungodly beliefs, which then that's not even a demon. It's you're in agreement, and a demon usually gets involved, but it's you're totally sold out in your head in a wrong belief system that's not of God,
yeah.
And it's made a stronghold. So if you're really battling, just you could even call Luann. And if you're a man, you want to ask for me, then
she'll connect. And my number is 631-745-7980, because this is what we do. You know, we're supposed to lay hands on the sick, cast out demons, all these things that Jesus did and greater things we're to do. Our time in ministry is a lot longer than Jesus. Look what he did in 3-4 years, in the short time, right? In the 3 years he was here. Look at the signs, miracles, and wonders that he demonstrated. He demonstrated God's love to people. To his enemies.
Yeah, imagine that. I was going to read the scripture earlier. I held off.
Yeah,
you said I'm going to read it.
Oh, go ahead.
Owe no man, Romans 13:8. Owe no man anything but to love one another.
Amen.
For he that loves another has fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. This is New Testament. Thou shalt not covet, which is to wrongly long after things. That's really strong in America. And if there be any other thing, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So the new covenant is the covenant of love, walking in love.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
And that's, it takes a fellowship to be able to love. So, and that's one of the big things that God's working in my heart these past, you know, several months. So, and when I talked about resentment, bitterness, and everything, that would only lead to me, meaning me, I'm the most important thing. I'm going to be bitter. I'm going to have a resentment because I want to feel better, or they deserve it, right? But when we talk about freedom, love, it leads to Jesus Christ. If I choose to go against my old nature, right, then I get freedom. Praise the Lord. So we have to take up our cross, your cross, and follow Jesus. James 4:7 says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So first we submit.
That's a big one.
Right? First
people resist all the time without submitting.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
So we must to God. We have to submit to his way. So I got to stop the way I think. If I'm still being harassed, or if I'm still continuing these things and habitually or really struggling, then I'm not submitting. Go to the first part of this problem solver. God gave us a problem solver right here in this scripture, right?
Because he'll attack, if like unforgiveness, he'll attack you in every which way.
Amen.
You're trying to get delivered and resist the devil, and whether it's pain or lust or whatever you're trying to resist, if you got unforgiveness, you're going to be under a battle the rest of your life, because
him,
it opens the door for every other spirit.
Yeah. So sometimes the best thing to do, and I know that there are ministers, deliverance ministers, that do that from the beginning. They take them through a prayer of forgiveness.
Amen.
You know, because that's the first thing that needs to be, we got to shut that door, because we can't give the enemy a footstool to get in anywhere, right? So, and then the Holy Spirit can guide us out of temptation. If I submit to God's way, the Holy Spirit only will lead me in God's way. I'll be protected from those negative things that are trying to come at me, right? So if I'm following Jesus, the Holy Spirit's in me, right? And I'm walking by the Spirit, in step with the Spirit. I'm following God's way. The enemy doesn't want to go that way. So he leaves. He goes the other way. He doesn't want to go the right way. He wants to go the wrong way. So it's a simple step to say, okay, Lord, I have to submit something I'm trying to do on my own above you or against your way. What is your way in this? And maybe you need to talk to somebody about the situation so that maybe they can hear something. And that's why it's important to share it with another person too. And he will flee. The enemy has already been defeated. All things that are possible through Christ. He moves mountains. He tramples on serpents. We're told we can do that, right? We have the victory. But if I only have the victory when I'm walking with victory. Jesus Christ already did it. Hallelujah, right? So Matthew 16:24 says, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. So we're not saying anything. It's not like, yes, we died. We were buried and we resurrected with Christ as born-again Christians. But we still have this vessel that has exposure and this mind, our soul, that still has the memory of the way we live our life. We got to renew our minds. And that's in what? Romans 12:2-3. It's like our standing scripture in kingdom recovery. We need to renew the mind. Otherwise, we're going to walk as the old. And it, what is it? Old wine skins and new?
You pour new wine and old.
You can't
wine
do skins. It. Because it'll rot it. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
They won't hold it anymore.
It won't hold it. So let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So if we deny, submit our way and pick up our life, our bodies, our being, our identity, right? Who we truly are, our inner man, and follow God with walking in spirit, by the Spirit, Holy Spirit, then we're gonna always feel the freedom, the joy, the love. And listen, there'll be moments where I'm not going to say we're going to, he said there'll be trials and tribulation, but those are times where we test our faith in who God is and who we are in Christ. God doesn't need to test us. I'm not saying that things don't happen.
He wants to show you where you're at.
He wants to show us where we're at. Correct. We want to ask him for all these things. Use me more. Do this. I'm sharing my own prayers. And then I get hit with something. I'm like, woo! You know what I mean? But this is an opportunity. Think of it as an opportunity. Count it all joy to grow spiritually rather than be victimized or I can't believe this is happening to me. I've been doing all these. I'm in the wrong mindset if that's the way I'm going to think about it. Praise the Lord, right?
Yeah, so, you don't have a right.
Amen. So do not love the world. You have been translated into the kingdom of light, of life. Hallelujah. Redeemed, made whole, set apart, sanctified. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. That's why we got to get over ourselves. All right? For God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. Jesus paid the price for us. And he says in 1 John 2:15-17, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes of and pride of life is not from God, but from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of the Father abides forever. That's the eternity. That's moving the mountain, breaking down the walls when we're walking with God. All right? So surrender is to be bold, sold out, a being, your name. Be sold out to Christ. Right? Satan steals, kills, and destroys. Who are we selling ourselves out to? Be sold out to Christ, to God. He already bought you. He owned us to begin with. He actually paid a price to get us back. That's how worth it we were. He double bought us. He created us and then bought us. Amen. Right? So a person who compromises. He brought us back. Correct.
We were there in the beginning. Amen. Before the fall.
He created us in a position and a place with him. We were stolen, right?
Amen.
And then he brought us back. But I got to be willing to be bought. He did it. I have to say, yes, Lord, here I am, right?
We just got to get out of this, oh, where I'm just a worm thing, and I'm getting turned into this great new person. We are a new creation, but the new creation is actually where we were created in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then Adam fell, and then we were all born into sin. And it's funny. Nobody has a problem with, I was born a sinner. But then when they're born again, and Jesus said in Romans 5, you're made righteous.
Amen.
Oh, I'm not.
I can't
I'm
be
not,
right.
I can't be made right.
Holy.
I'm not holy. Yeah. I'm not righteous.
I'm not a saint.
But we have no problem saying, oh, yeah. I'm a sinner, you know,
yeah.
You know, because we're born
into
that.
I'm the only human. No, you're not. You're spirit first. Praise the Lord. Okay, so a person who, and this is sold out. This is what it means. A person who compromises their personal values, integrity, talent, morals, and beliefs for money or personal advantage. I sold out to drugs, to sex, whatever it was, you know, power, authority. When I mean authority, I mean position, wanting to, you know, higher positions, whatever it is. I sold out myself to those things. Meanwhile, God bought us, right? Or for the care of God, do I sell out to God? I'm giving him all of me. It's all out there for him. Everything I am, my spirit, soul, and body, everything I own is his. It's all his. It's not even, I don't even own it. I just manage it. He's blessed me with these things. I used to think I own these things, and I have many stories of being prideful in that area. You know, because I am blessed, right? So I used to think I did it. You know, the girl from Queens that couldn't get out of her own way. Right? And here I am. Everything's his. And when I shifted that thought, there was a freedom. Because as much as I thought I earned those things, they owned me. Because I had fear of losing them or not getting them. Mm-hmm. And I don't have that anymore. And that's a freedom. That was the spirit of poverty. I was watching a deliverance, not thinking that I needed a deliverance. I was just watching it. And all of a sudden, the person mentioned that. It wasn't even the topic of the deliverance. And I felt it in my spirit. Like, that's it, Lou. And I just started repenting. And from that day on, I've been free from fear of not getting what I want or being taken from me in a financial, monetarial way. Mm-hmm. Everything I own is his. It's not mine. I don't even own it. Everything he owns, and he asked me to manage, I just wait for the instructions today. And it's a freedom. Praise the Lord. Right? Hallelujah. So we've been translated. We need to be in the new kingdom that we were translated into. All right? So the world is passing away. Surrender. We need to surrender to God. Satan stole what God created, and Jesus brought us back. And what a blessing, right? To our original creator. He brought us back to bring us back to God in his presence in the garden.
You know, I was thinking of this story. People may have seen it. It's probably about 15 years ago. The guy that was kidnapped when he was little, and this other guy had him his whole life, and then they figured it out when he was 25 or something. And he was like an alcoholic and had all these problems and went back with his parents, but he couldn't fit in. He was so trained in all the stuff and junk, and you know, and he was molested all the time growing up. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, that's kind of us.
Yeah.
You know,
we're
taken from the Lord.
We're all widowed,
grew up that whole time. Mm-hmm. But just as he had that hard time, which, you know, seeing in the movie is really easy to understand. That's kind of where we're at.
Amen. So God brought us back by the shed blood of Jesus, the sacrifice of his son, right? The firstborn from the dead in Colossians 1:18. And then we're getting ready to wrap up. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. So he paved the way. Right? For the kingdom of God for us. Hallelujah. And we get an opportunity to experience here in this life the kingdom of God. as it is in heaven here on earth. But I have to make a conscious effort every day, God-conscious contact with God every day. You, James, share what you're going to share, and then we have to pray.
I just want to say, when I said we don't have rights, we do have kingdom rights. We have authority over demons and over the earth.
Amen.
We have authority over people.
That's right.
But I was talking about, like, I'm not going to be talked to that way, the pride of life, the ourself, that die into that. You know, amen, what I mean? We don't have a right to explode at people or, you know,
no,
what I mean?
Because God
so
told us.
I wasn't saying we don't have any kingdom rights.
And that's an example.
I wanted that to be.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that. And that's an example of not having control over other people. We don't. We can't do that. You know, when we step across, that's breaking the God's laws.
Amen.
You know? Hallelujah. So there's so much in this. And, you know, time goes by so fast. I always think, I don't know what to say. And then we get on. It's like, blah, 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 blah. And I just love God so much. So we're going to pray right now. But I do want to remind everybody, if you need to talk or you want to repent or ask me a question or get in touch with James, call me 631-745-7980. James, pray for us, please.
Father, we thank you for this day, Father. Lord, I ask you to help us all just to walk in more of who we really are, to recognize that we're not trying to claim things, that we're actually created in your image and for fellowship with you, and you long to have time with us. I ask you to bless everyone here in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Shalom, shalom.
Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980.
All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828. The shepherds looked on.